Well, it's our second new series we're beginning today. We started one earlier in the month called What is God? And that'll be on the first Sunday of each month. And today we start our second one, What is the Gospel? And to do that, we're going to look at one of the earliest books of the New Testament, the book of Galatians. And we're going to look at what is the good news that we preach about? What does it mean to say Jesus died for my sin and that I'm saved? So we're going to look at that. Today we're looking at the first 9 verses of chapter 1, and I'll give a bit of background, and then I've got 3 points. So let's just hear God's word. Paul, an apostle, not from men nor through man, but through Jesus Christ and God the Father who raised him from the dead, and all the brothers who are with me, to the churches of Galatia, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins to deliver us from the present evil age, according to the will of God, of our God and Father, to whom be the glory forever and ever. Amen. So let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you that you speak to us through it, and we pray that we would understand the gospel, what it means, that we would believe the gospel, that we would trust in you, and that we would be changed by the gospel. Open our hearts, our minds, and our wills now to receive your precious word, and speak to those who don't know you about their souls and bring them to you. In Jesus' name. Amen. The letter of Paul to the Galatians. As I said, it is one of the earliest books of the New Testament. The dates are between 48 and 55 AD, so very early on in the life of the church. And Galatia was a province in what we now call Turkey. And Paul planted churches in Galatia, and you can read about that in Acts chapter 13 and chapter 14. But then following that chapter, there's a disagreement in the church in Acts 15, and there's a council, and it's to do with what Paul writes about in this letter. There were people changing the message and adding to it, and Paul, in the letter to the Galatians, defends his apostleship and proclaims the gospel. And the two are very, very important, and they're linked in this epistle. So I'll get into that in more detail as we go on. So that's the background, that the Galatian churches were planted by Paul in his first missionary journey. And not long after that, people were changing the message of the gospel. So let's get into it. My 3 points are Paul's intro, verses 1 to 3, Christ crucified, verses 3 to 5, and no other gospel, verse 6 to 9. Paul's intro, verse 1 to 3, Christ crucified, verse 3 to 5, no other gospel, verse 6 to 9. So Paul's intro. Paul introduces himself this way. Paul, an apostle. An apostle means sent one. And they had a special and unique ministry in the life of the church. Jesus had many disciples, but in his ministry he only had 12 apostles. And he sent them out in Luke chapter 9, but he had other disciples as well, and he sent them out in Luke chapter 10. The difference is, some were disciples and some were apostles. The apostles were a unique, and I would say one-off, group of Christians. Matthias becomes an apostle, he replaces Judas in Acts chapter 1, and Paul becomes an apostle later on in the book of Acts. Talk about that in a minute. But their ministry is for the founding of the Christian church. Paul writes in Ephesians 2 verses 19 to 21 that the church is built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Christ Jesus himself being the chief cornerstone. So we're all built on the foundation of Christ and the apostles. And so there are no apostles today. The only apostolic succession is loyalty to the teaching of the apostles found in the New Testament, which is the founding of the church. So that's the first point about apostles. He introduces himself as an apostle, and he defends it. He says, not from men nor through man, but through Jesus Christ and God the Father who raised him from the dead. Paul was commissioned to be an apostle by the risen Lord Jesus himself. You can read about this in Acts chapter 9. Paul is on the way to Damascus, and he's, quote, breathing threats against the church. He's going to persecute Christians because he wants to wipe them out. And then on his way to Damascus, he sees a bright light. And he asks, who are you, Lord? And he said, I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting. And in that conversation, the Lord Jesus commissions him to be the apostle to the Gentiles, the non-Jewish people, to make known the name of Christ. So on the Damascus Road, Paul goes up it, wanting to kill Christians. He comes back off it, wanting to make Christians, because he has an encounter with the risen Christ. The apostles, the other apostles and the church, affirm Paul's ministry, but they don't make him an apostle. Christ himself makes Paul an apostle. And God the Father who raised him from the dead, because he's seen the risen Christ, the glorified Christ. And it was God the Father who did that, raised and glorified the Lord Jesus. And so Paul has been commissioned by him, because he's stressing this point, because he is an apostle, and so the gospel he preached was the real one. Because people who were preaching a false gospel were attacking Paul. They were saying, well, you know, he's all right in as far as he goes, but just remember, he wasn't one of the original apostles. He never served Jesus during his life. Can you really believe what he has to say? And Paul defends himself, not because he's defensive or because he's upset, but because the gospel is at stake. And he says, no, I am an apostle. I've seen the risen Christ and I was commissioned. And then he says, grace and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. He's just mentioned them, and he bids the Galatians grace and peace. And that's beautiful. Grace, God's favour to those who don't deserve it, and peace. We all know the beauty of peace. And he wishes these on the Galatians because these are the blessings of the gospel. John Fesco, whose commentary I had a look at on this, said this: the gospel is a manifestation of God's grace, his favour that is poured out upon sinners without the slightest reference to their merit. Not only is the gospel a manifestation of God's grace, but it is also that which brings peace to God's people. And that is the riches of the gospel. The good news of Jesus is a manifestation of God's grace. God pours his blessing upon us. And he doesn't ask us, do these people deserve it? Because we don't. And isn't that a good job? He pours his grace on us because we don't deserve it and we need him. And he gives us peace. Peace with God, peace of conscience, and indeed peace with our brothers and sisters in Christ. And he bids that on the Galatian church. That's how Paul introduces himself. Point two. He points them to Christ crucified. Yes, we've just talked about the risen Christ, but we only have the risen Christ because we have the crucified Christ. He points them to Christ crucified because Paul is about to explain to them what the gospel is. The verse of Galatians that sums it up is, we're justified by faith and not by works of the law. And Paul lays the foundation of this by pointing them to the cross. He says this, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins to deliver us from the present evil age, according to the will of God, of our God and Father, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. He points them to the cross, and he praises God for the cross. We see a number of things in this, in verse 4. We see the willingness. Jesus Christ, who gave himself. Many people slander the view of the cross that I explained to you on the first Sunday of every month last year. That Jesus died for our sins. Some people say it makes God look like a psychopath who's punishing a child for sins he didn't commit. That's not what we believe. We believe Christ freely submitted himself to the will of God the Father and gave himself for our sins. You can read about that in John chapter 10, verses 17 to 18. He said, no one takes my life from me. I lay it down and I take it up again. It was freely of his own will, submitting to the will of God, yes, but of his own will, he gave himself. What for? What purpose? For our sins. Sin means any lack of conformity to or breaking of God's law. And God's law, simply put, the Lord Jesus said it beautifully, love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind and strength, and love your neighbour as yourself. Every time we break that law, and every time we don't keep it perfectly, even when we do the right thing, we sin. And not just that, we have a sinful nature. Every moment of our lives that breaks every one of God's commands. And Christ died for both and all the sins we committed, the good things that we don't do that we should have done, and the bad things that we shouldn't do that we do. And indeed, all the thought, word, and deed, and indeed the very nature that we carry, Christ died for. That's the purpose, to die for sin. The effect, he delivers us from the present evil age. That means the world, the system of the world, which is contrary to the system of God found in the Bible. Christians are pilgrims walking through the world to the heavenly Jerusalem. Yes, we love the people in the world. We want to be good neighbours and good friends. We want to enjoy the blessings of the world. What we mean when we say the present evil age or the world, we mean the system of the world, the religions of the world, the materialism, the ethics of the world. Christians are delivered from that by the death of Jesus Christ. We looked at that, as I say, on the first Sunday of the month last year. Christ died, he paid the price for our sin. He ransomed us, he redeemed us, he reconciled us to God. The other word was propitiation. He bore the wrath of God for our sins after living a perfectly righteous and holy life. And so we can become children of God. And when he died, our old nature died. And we were raised with him to endless life. And we're united with him at the right hand of God. That's the gospel. And it's through the cross that we looked at last year, that we see in the songs we sing and in the Lord's Supper when we do it. And what's the source? It's according to the will of God the Father. According to the will of God the Father. God chose to save you through Christ. 1 Peter chapter 1 verse 20 says that he was foreknown before the foundation of the world, to shed his precious blood like that of a lamb without blemish or spot. to present as holy, blameless, and above reproach. This was God's plan. This was God's plan in eternity past, to bring us to him and to save us. And it's his divine will that planned it. And when Paul meditates on that, when he thinks about it, all he can do, verse 5, is praise God. He says, to whom be the glory forever and ever. He bursts in praise. You know, that's beautiful. Just thinking about the gospel, just mentioning it, causes Paul to praise God. Christ crucified. And that's the starting point. If we're going to look at what is the gospel, we've got to go to the life, the death, the resurrection of Jesus Christ, the person and work of our Lord Jesus Christ, because he is the centre of the Bible. He's the centre of the universe, centre of all of God's plan. It's to glorify his name through Jesus Christ. So if we're going to answer what is the gospel, that's where we have to start, and we have to stay there. Because as we'll see in a few minutes, some people wanted to add to it. But Paul won't have it. Paul praised God for the person and work of Christ. He couldn't help himself. Because when you realise what Christ did on the cross, we can't help but praise him. And point 3, no other gospel, verses 6-9. Paul says, I am astonished that you were so quickly deserting him who called you in the grace of Christ and are turning to a different gospel. Philip Ryken, in his commentary, he's an American, and he said, the British have a saying. They would say, I am gobsmacked. You know, Paul here is gobsmacked. So quickly, after he planted the churches, people were turning away from the gospel. People were turning away from it. What happened was this. In Acts chapter 13 and 14, as I said, Paul planted churches in Galatia. And then in Acts chapter 15, we read of a certain group from the group of the Pharisees who said, unless you become circumcised as the manner taught by Moses, you cannot be saved. And then there was a massive church council, and the group said, within that they needed, the new non-Jewish Christians needed to be circumcised and keep the law of Moses. And they needed to do that in order to be saved. So basically they needed to become Jewish and keep all the laws, to keep everything that God wrote in the first 5 books of the Bible, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy, or they could not be saved. So they would have perhaps agreed with what Paul said. They would have said, oh yeah, Paul's right in as far as he goes. Jesus did fulfill the law. Jesus did live a perfect life. He did die a death to save us. But that's not enough. We need to do good works and we need to keep the law of Moses to be saved. So there's 2 things wrong there. First of all, they've got the covenants wrong. The law of Moses was a covenant exclusively with the nation of Israel. Yes, God's moral law is in there that's binding on everyone, but the law of Moses was just for Israel, and it was temporary, as we'll see when we get into Galatians. The new covenants come, and indeed, the law of Moses cannot complete Christ's work. Because Christ completed the law of Moses. They get everything back to front and they add salvation by works, by my effort, winning God's favour to the gospel. And Paul is gobsmacked or astonished. And it happened literally the next chapter after Paul founded the Galatian churches. This is 48 AD, so perhaps 15 years after the resurrection of Christ. Possibly not as long, depending on the dates. But Paul is gobsmacked. He says, what is this about? They're preaching a different gospel. Not that there is a different gospel. There's only one true gospel. They're preaching a false gospel. The true gospel is the good news that God sent his Son to deliver us from this present evil age, that Jesus lived a perfect life, that he died the death that we deserve to die, that God raised him from the dead, and that now he is glorified, and so we can be declared righteous in his sight. We can have the Holy Spirit poured upon us. Our sins can be forgiven. We have an eternal hope. And to quote Feskell again, this is the gospel of Jesus Christ. It is our salvation accomplished and applied. And it's all through Jesus Christ. So what is all this about? To keep laws in order to be saved. To keep a law that's actually been abolished anyway. What is all this about? And Paul says, they are troubling you. They want to distort the gospel of Christ. And that word distort, it means reverse. You know, they've got things completely the wrong way around. Let's be clear about one thing. It's not that works are not important. We'll get to that in Galatians. But we're not saved by our good works. We're saved by the sacrifice of Christ on the cross, and we receive it by faith. To add works to that, it's blasphemy. And Paul says, even if we or an angel from heaven should preach to you a gospel contrary to the one we did preach, let him be accursed. And he repeats it. He says, let us be accursed. He's bringing a curse on himself. He's saying, if we preach a different gospel to you, let us be accursed. So no other gospel. Paul's saying this is the only way that people can be saved. If you change that, people won't be saved. If you get this wrong, people won't be saved. They'll be accursed. They'll go to hell. The gospel is the good news of how we are made right with God through Jesus Christ. And it is all of him, and all the glory goes to him. And that's what Paul's saying. There is no other gospel. There's only one true gospel. And we lay that, we start at the cross, and we finish at the cross. And so Paul uses quite strong language to affirm this point. This is how he starts off. Saying this gospel you're being preached that you're falling for, it's no gospel at all. So what are we going to do with these truths? What applications can we draw? Do you believe in Christ and Christ alone to be saved? Do you believe in Christ and Christ alone to be saved? Can you say with the old hymn writer, nothing in my hand I bring, simply to your cross I cling. When I first became a Christian in 2002, I listened to a version of that hymn, a modern version. It never took on. It was on an album that was released in 2002, but it never took off. And that helped me understand the gospel. You know, not the labours of my hands can fulfil the Lord's demands. Could my zeal no respite know, could my tears forever flow, all for sin could not atone, you must save, and you alone. It's Christ and Christ alone that saves. Even our faith isn't what, you know, it's not that God looks at us and says, well, he's believed or she's believed, I'll save them. No, our faith is just receiving it, the gift of God in Christ. That's what faith is. It's empty-handed. You don't take credit at all for holding your hands out like that and receiving a gift. That's just receiving it. It's all of Christ. Do you believe in Christ alone for salvation? Do you understand the gospel? Do you understand the gospel? If you don't, bear with us in this sermon series. Indeed, why not? Why not listen to Galatians? I found an entire Galatians on YouTube. It takes 20 minutes to listen to the whole thing. You don't have to read along, just listen. That might be better for you. You might learn better for doing that. Just do that. It's beautiful. Let the word of God go into your mind and into your heart. Get the gospel in your heart, though, and preach the gospel to yourself. As we go through these verses, find verses that proclaim the gospel and keep them close to you. And preach, as one of the songs says, preach the gospel to yourself. Because you need to hear it. We all need to hear it. God's free grace in the Lord Jesus Christ. And there is no other gospel. In the third application, I'm going to use these words through this series. And we do have the sermon notes from last year. Don't confuse justification and sanctification. Justification is being declared righteous in the sight of God. Sanctification is being made righteous, being made more like Jesus. That's the work of the Holy Spirit. Both are done through the cross. But never confuse them. Because these people Paul is confronting, they were basing their justification, their right standing with God, on their sanctification, on their performance. Completely wrong. Some Christian groups today divorce the two entirely, justification and sanctification, saying you can be justified, but never produce holiness and righteousness. That's not true either. Paul will have none of that in Galatians. We'll get to that. But remember that the two are different. They both come from the free grace of God. They're both achieved through Christ's death. But they are different. And they will be seen in the Christian. But we are saved by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone, to the glory of God alone. So let's say with Paul, to him be the glory. Forever and ever. Amen.